For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
All right, that's right. That is right. Today's the 11th anniversary of the program. Oh, wait a minute. A standing ovation, that's a little too much. Now, please sit down. You're making me a little bit embarrassed, all right? So anyway, welcome to a special episode of Senior Care Live, where today we're recognizing and celebrating the 11th anniversary of the program. And the angels sing. How about that? All right. So let's get into the program today. Just having way too much fun. I'll tell you what, this is really cool. On the 11th anniversary, we are adding 6 radio stations all in the New York area. That's a pretty cool anniversary celebration right there. So first would like to welcome WKAL 1450 AM and 103.3 FM, and they cover the Rome, Utica, New York market, and that is so cool. And then, and I think we start there on Sunday, I believe. And then we also have added Sunday, July the 7th, WKAJ 1120 AM and 97.9 FM, as well as WCSS 1490 AM and 106.9 FM. And those 4 stations cover the Albany, Schenectady, Troy, New York market. How about that? So for all of our friends in New York, thank you for adding us to your lineup. We really, really appreciate that. Welcome to the Senior Care Broadcasting Network, and welcome to the Senior Care Live family. How about that? All right. So with all of that, 11th anniversaries and adding 6 stations in New York, I'd like to introduce in studio my friend and special guest, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the owner of Stockton and Kant Estate Planning and Elder Law. And Glenn, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for having me. And congratulations on the 11th anniversary.
Thank you. It seems like a long time ago and yesterday all at the same time, right?
It goes by fast.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. So Glenn is here. Glenn is a very, very busy estate planning and elder law attorney. And Glenn, I appreciate you spending your time here to help us fulfill the mission of the program, information and education and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And so we're going to be talking a lot about Medicaid today. We're going to answer a ton of questions. And if you have a question for Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Kant, they cover the Kansas City market. That's 913-856-2828 or online at stocktonlaw.com. And then if you are outside of our area, so if you're our new friends in New York, you could be in Florida, California, Seattle, we're all over the country. I would encourage you to go to NAELA.org. It's NAELA.org. That's the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. But the information that we covered today is applicable for everyone in the country. So with that, let's jump in. Glenn, I've just had a lot of people I speak with every week that are just not sure about Medicaid and how to qualify for it and all of that. So let's just jump into 101. What is Medicaid?
So Medicaid is a government program that is designed to do many things, but when it comes to the elder law type of thing or the elder community, it's the program that's designed to help pay for long-term care.
Okay. And so our discussion today is for the part of Medicaid that will pay for long-term care. And Glenn, how is Medicaid different from Medicare?
So Medicare is our insurance we get when we turn age 65. It pays for doctor's visits and hospital stays and prescription drugs, things like that. What Medicare does not cover, it's not designed to cover long-term care. It's got very limited benefits. It'll cover up to a maximum of 100 days of long-term care for rehabilitation purposes following a qualified hospital stay. And nobody gets the 100 days there, right? They either kick you out because you're progressing too fast or kick you out because you're not progressing fast enough. But yeah, a maximum 100 days. So that's not going to pay for it. But Medicaid is what helps pay for long-term care. But we, you know, there's qualifications that you have to qualify for Medicaid.
Yep. And I don't know. I know you've heard it way more than I have, but I may have heard it maybe 10,000 times. The term Medicaid and Medicare kind of commingled, and they should not be because they are very different things.
They are very different things.
So, and I love it. So you know, Medicare is your health insurance. Medicaid will help pay for the cost of your stay in long-term care or in a nursing home. So, I have been asked, I'm running into this a lot here lately, where we have people who are doing things unknowingly, right? They're not trying to pull any fast ones or anything like that, but they're doing some things that could cause a Medicaid penalty. So let's start off with, you know, what is a Medicaid penalty?
So I think, you know, to remember, Medicaid requires that we go through what's called the Medicaid spend down. We have to spend assets down to whatever the level is for the state of the person applying, whatever state we're applying in. And so the penalty is if we have, in the process of spending down the assets, we have gifted away or transferred money or property away without receiving fair market value exchange, you know, fair market value in return, then they're going to penalize you for that transfer with the concept that had you not given away, that money would still be available for your care. And so that penalty is assessed on any transfers that are made within the 5-year period immediately preceding an application.
And I would guess that this is something that has been abused in the past. And so you have to install these rules and then everyone kind of has to abide by these rules. And you could be penalized even if you're doing something that you're not aware would cause a penalty. So that's why I wanted to talk about this. So you had mentioned that a gift of some type would result in a Medicaid penalty. So what is a gift for Medicaid qualification purposes, and maybe if you have some examples.
So in simple terms, a gift for Medicaid purposes would be any time within the 5-year period immediately before applying for Medicaid, you gave away or otherwise transferred money or property without receiving that, you know, fair market value exchange for it. Common examples would be someone transfers their home to their adult child, you know, deeds it over to their child. And maybe it wasn't thinking anything about Medicaid. It was like, I want to avoid probate, or I want, you know, want to make sure my kids receive this. So they transfer the home to the child. Well, Medicaid would see that as a gift. Another common example we have is when we transfer money to an irrevocable trust for Medicaid planning purposes. That transfer, that was a transfer away that, again, would be subject to a penalty, would kind of fall under that gift language. Grandma sells her home, moves in with adult daughter and decides, well, I want to see money get used during my lifetime. And so gives $25,000 to her granddaughter to help with her wedding.
Yeah.
Medicaid would see that if it was in the 5 years preceding coming into, you know, applying for Medicaid, they would see that $25,000 as a $25,000 gift. So those are common examples that we see.
Okay. All right. And so how far back does Medicaid look for these gifts or these transfers that would trigger that penalty?
So, you know, and I keep mentioning 5 years because of the 5-year look back. When I first started doing this, it was a 3-year look back.
3-year for a long time, forever.
Right. Yeah. And then 2006, that changed and they moved it to a 5-year penalty period. So Medicaid says you can do the gifting, you can transfer trust, but you can't wait till you're sitting down at the admissions desk in the nursing home to do it, right? You've got to plan in advance. So any gift made within that 5-year look back counts. If I could just go there, Steve, this is something I see, you know, all the time. If somebody did make a gift, you know, oftentimes kids are helping mom or your, you know, grandma or something, and oh, they made gifts, she can't qualify, and they do nothing, and that's the wrong answer. see a Medicaid attorney, right? An elder law attorney.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot we can do. It doesn't mean that they can't necessarily qualify. It just means we now have to account for that gift. Because when we apply, Medicaid takes a financial snapshot of everything you own on the day you apply, and any money you've gifted away in the prior 5 years comes back into that snapshot as if you still had it. It doesn't mean you can't qualify. We just have to now plan and account for those assets.
Okay. And you said something just a minute ago that triggered another question. And there's, you know what? I really want to get into that, and let's just hold this for our next segment. So if you want to reach out to a qualified expert elder law attorney, I would strongly recommend in the Kansas City area, reach out to StocktonLaw.com or call 913-856-2828. And if you're outside of the Kansas City area, again, you can go to NALA.org. That's NAELA.org, and you can put in your zip code and find an elder law attorney in your city, in your neighborhood. All right. Now the Senior Care Live question of the week. If your gift for Medicaid purposes was made more than 5 years ago, it will not affect your ability to qualify for Medicaid. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of Senior Care Live, where today we are recognizing and celebrating the 11th anniversary of the program. How about that? Right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Remember, for more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. If your gift for Medicaid purposes was made more than 5 years ago, it will not affect your ability to qualify for Medicaid. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is true. That statement is true. And Glenn, why is that statement true?
Well, because it's been given more than 5 years ago. Medicaid look back period is 5 years. So as long as it was given more than 5 years ago, does not count against you.
And that's why reaching out to Glenn Stockton at Stockton and Kant, doing some estate planning, maybe we can talk about this later, where you can set things up well in advance so that you never run into the possibility of a gift, because you're all set up and you won't have any problems.
That's correct.
All right. All right. So I'm speaking today in studio with my friend and special guest, Mr. Glenn Stockton. Reach out to Stockton and Kant, their estate planning and elder law experts at 913-856-2828 or online at StocktonLaw.com. If you're outside of the Kansas City area, all of this is applicable to you as well. All the information that we're sharing is relevant to you wherever you are. If you want to find a local estate planning or elder law attorney, specifically elder law for the purposes of this conversation, reach out to NAELA.org. Just go online, NAELA.org, put in your zip code, and you can find an elder law attorney in your neck of the woods, so to speak. So, Glenn, earlier you mentioned something about a trust, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, well, can't you just put the money in a trust to avoid a Medicaid penalty and to get around that? But I suspect it's not that easy.
Well, it's not overly difficult, right? But the trust has to be a Medicaid compliant trust.
Okay.
And I tell people, you know, think of a trust as being like a safe. By far the most common type of trust we have is what's called the revocable trust, right? So I create the trust. I'm the trust maker. I'm my own trustee. So I've got the key to the safe. Mm-hmm. And the assets inside of my safe are for my benefit, right? So I have the key and I can access them and use it for me. Medicaid says that doesn't work. In essence, you have to irrevocably give up the key. You can't keep the key, right? And there's obviously no key and there's more to it than this. But
in essence,
that's what we're doing. We're irrevocably giving the key. Who can we give the key to? Anybody we want, but it cannot be me and it cannot be my spouse, but it could be anybody else. Typically, it's an adult child or other trusted family member. We give the key to them. That's when the five-year clock starts ticking. And from that point forward, as long as we get 5 years down the road, we're okay. So best time to do it, now or now. Before yeah. while you're healthy, not when you're sitting down at the admissions desk at the nursing home.
Yeah, there no doubt about that. So, all right, so that makes a lot of sense. That actually clears up. I think we're probably causing, we're triggering off, I can feel questions like coming up all around the country right now. People are like, oh, no, well, wait a minute now. We need to look into this. So, all right, I've met so many people, and again, they're not trying to cause problems, and they think that they're going to need Medicaid at some point, but they unknowingly they make some sort of a financial transaction that would be considered a gift. So, is there any way after the fact to take care of a gift, or maybe address a gift, and maybe not cause that penalty?
Well, it would depend on the nature of the gift, right?
Okay.
So,
okay.
If it was a gift to a spouse, well, that's exempt. You know, spousal transfers from husband to wife or wife to husband would not count as a gift. If we transferred more than 5 years to applying, wouldn't count. If we transferred it to a minor child or a child with, you know, disabilities who's receiving disability benefits, that would be a permitted gift.
Okay.
If we gave a gift and it had been a regular part of a regular gifting program that we had been doing for years, many of those gifts can continue to qualify.
And an example of that would be a birthday gift to family members. You've done this for the last 50 years. There's a track record. They're not, you know, huge. I mean, they're reasonable. Maybe, you know, Christmas gifts and some of these sort of things.
Tithing to your church, those types of things. As long as there's that regular pattern, then those are not considered gifts that would, you know, be for the purposes of, you know, qualifying for Medicaid, and they would not count against you.
Okay, so they're outside of that scope of trying to qualify for Medicaid.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, that makes sense. Okay, and so what is the penalty in, so we're sitting in the state of Kansas right now in the Kansas City area, but on the Kansas side of the state line, what is the penalty in Kansas right now?
So Kansas does it on a daily basis, you know, so you're penalized on a daily basis, but roughly it's $7,500 a month. So for every $7,500 that you have given away, you're going to have a penalty of 1 month. And if we go to the Missouri side, it's roughly about $7,000.
Okay. All right. And so just do some quick math. If your gifts add up to $75,000 over the last 5 years, divided by $7,500, that's a 10-month penalty. And so the way that works is you would otherwise qualify for Medicaid, but you have this gift, so that has to be worked off, basically. So for the next 10 months, Medicaid won't pay for the majority of the cost of your stay in long-term care in a nursing home. And then after that, then Medicaid would start paying after that gift is basically eliminated or taken care of. Is that correct?
Right. You're in the penalty box for 10 minutes,
oh,
10
boy.
Months there, right? And once you get out, then you're back in the game, and yes, you could qualify.
Okay. And I love the penalty box idea, too. I love these analogies. It really makes it easy to understand. So, okay. So let's go ahead and open another another issue that, and I know so many people are doing this right with the best of intentions, but they're unknowingly or could be unknowingly getting themselves into a gifting situation and a penalty situation. What is a care contract?
So a care contract for Medicaid purposes to qualify for Medicaid has to be in writing. So it's a written contract. And typically it's where, you know, the person who is looking to maybe may need to go on care at some point enters into a written contract with a child or some family member to pay them to provide care. That could be health care. It could be mowing the lawn. It could be, you know, come over and helping them with medication management, those types of things. But it has to be a written agreement in order to receive that's providing care.
And so this is almost a form of an employment agreement, I guess, it sounds like.
It's absolutely what it is.
Okay. And so, again, can you hang on for the third
absolutely.
Segment with us? Okay. I appreciate that. So that is what a care contract is. And coming up next, you might, if you're driving, hang on to your wheel, because I'm going to ask Glenn – why it's important to have one. So, again, we're speaking today with Mr. Glenn Stockton. He is the founder of Stockton and Cant. They're estate planning and elder law specialists. You want to reach out to Glenn and his excellent team here in the Kansas City market. That's 913-856-2828. Or online at StocktonLaw.com. And again, if you're outside of the Kansas City area, like so many listeners are, go to NAELA.org. That's N-A-E-L-A.org to find an elder law attorney in your city and state. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to a very special episode of Senior Care Live, where today we're celebrating and recognizing the 11th anniversary of Senior Care Live right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, back with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Glenn Stockton. He's the founder of Stockton and Cant, estate planning and elder law firm. And you can reach out to Glenn and his awesome team here in the Kansas City area, 913-856-2828. Go online at StocktonLaw.com. And if you're outside of our area, all of the information we're reviewing today is applicable to everyone all around the country. So to find an elder law attorney in your neighborhood, go to NAELA.org. That's N-A-E-L-A.org. Stands for the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Put in your zip code and you'll find a list of qualified and experienced elder law attorneys in your area. So, Glenn, before the break, we were talking about a care contract and recognizing that it's important to have one, and that a care contract is essentially an employment agreement. Say, for example, if your adult daughter left her job, she comes to your house, she provides your care, and you're paying her an hourly amount for legitimately for care. Why is it so important to have a care contract in place?
Well, one, if we don't have a written contract in place, then any of those payments we made to the daughter are considered a gift. So it has to be in writing, and we can't go and, well, we meant for it to be in writing and put it in writing later. It has to be in place before the payments start, or any payments before that would just be counted as a gift. So it's any payments after the agreement in place.
So if your daughter's been providing care for the last year or two or 6 months or whatever it is, you can't write a care contract retroactively. Those dollars are considered a Medicaid gift that could come back to cause you trouble if in the next 5 years you needed to qualify for long-term care or nursing home level of care and you would need to qualify for Medicaid. That's when I think it's consequential.
That'd be correct.
Okay. All right. So, oh boy. So if you have been paying your adult child, again, legitimately for care, and you don't have a care contract, and you're going to be looking at a Medicaid penalty, are you stuck, or can you not get out of this? I mean, you have to deal with it, but are there options for someone in that situation to possibly minimize that gift or maybe do something with it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, this is a situation you would want to contact a qualified elder law attorney. This is what as elder law attorneys we do, is help people with these situations. And we have a lot of tools at our disposal. We can recharacterize assets. We can apply exemptions to assets. And so there's a lot we can do to deal with maybe prior gifts that would cause penalties to still get someone qualified sooner, you know, minimize that penalty period, for example. So contact a qualified elder law attorney.
In Kansas City, I would contact Glenn Stockton at 913-856-2828, online at StocktonLaw.com, outside of the KC area, NAELA.org. And I've heard from some people, I don't know, I mean, attorneys, you know, it kind of sounds a little bit expensive. Let me say this. I promise you this will be the best money you have ever spent. And don't try to do this stuff on your own. It has to be done properly. And that's why you pay an expert to have this done properly. And that's I'll get off my pulpit there. So, Glenn, how would someone go about getting their hands on a care contract? I mean, do you just write a little note on a piece of paper, or I assume it's a little more to it than that?
Well, certainly Medicaid, has rules and restrictions on these agreements, so they have to be done correctly to work. So I would highly encourage somebody to work with an elder law attorney to help them put that caregiver agreement. And again, this stuff doesn't have to be overly expensive. And typically, the goal of the elder law attorney is to save you money, to put you in a better financial situation had you not hired them.
Yeah. And so a lot of times you can pay an elder law attorney, whatever the legal fees is, and maybe protect, tens of thousands of assets, or keep yourself from receiving tens of thousands of dollars in a Medicaid penalty. Man, that's what it's all about, is doing things properly in your favor.
Absolutely. And what I think, people are like, well, why do we do this? Well, if we spend all the money taking care of husband, for example, and now there's very little left to take care of wife, Medicaid insurance will pay for everything the state says you need, but not necessarily everything you're going to want. So having the money to supplement your care, and these are all good reasons to have it. And then whatever's left would go to your beneficiaries, your children, whoever. But, my goal with my clients is to make sure there's money for them. We don't spend everything, because Medicaid's going to make you go through a Medicaid spend down. In Kansas, and in a lot of states, that's $2,000 or less. So you basically have to be broke if you don't plan in advance.
Oh, boy. Now you see why it's important to contact an elder law attorney. So, Glenn, that was a nice segue, because my next question was, is there an opportunity to maybe protect some of your assets if you should need nursing home care in the near future and will need to qualify for Medicaid? So are there some asset protection strategies or maybe opportunities that an elder law attorney could employ to your favor?
Absolutely. So as we mentioned earlier, the ideal time to do the planning is advanced, not, as you get your foot in the door at the nursing home, you will. So, but what if we don't have the luxury of planning 5 years in advance? We just didn't do it, or we got caught off guard. Absolutely, there's things we can do. As I've mentioned, the tools of the trade, we have exemptions, we can recharacterize assets, we can sometimes we're intentionally incurring penalties so that we can, get the penalty clock ticking to get someone qualified quickly. So all kinds of tools at our disposal. And that's, why you would want to see the elder law attorney to help you put that plan in place.
And then I think it's even more beneficial and more critical to work with an elder law attorney in the case of a couple, because let's say the husband's going to need, he has the illness, the issues, the medical issues, he's going to need nursing home level of care. And maybe his wife is still at home and she's independent and she's doing well. If you spend all your money for nursing home care for the husband, the wife is going to literally go broke, because this stuff is really expensive. And in that situation, what would you do with the assets with a husband and wife situation?
So we're trying to protect as much as we can, right? There's the division of assets strategy we can exempt. And we're trying to get to the other spouse as much money as we can keep in this situation for her care. So it would depend on the types of assets and how much time we have and cost of care and all those things. But there are many tools available there. And so in those situations, even in that where, a situation where you've got the one spouse at home, the rule of thumb has always been that we can protect at least half the assets. I will tell you, in reality, it's usually more than that. Usually 60 to 70% has been my experience of, of the assets are retained when you're in that crisis mode. At a minimum, you're going to be able to protect that. So, doing the planning helps, because if you don't, you're going to spend till you have nothing. And unfortunately, that's how so many people do it. They spend all their money till they have none. Then they go see the elder law attorney. And
it's too late.
Yeah.
The money's gone at that point.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's reactive versus proactive. I would be proactive and take care of this if you can. And you know what? Sometimes things happen. Everyone's doing fine, and then all of a sudden there's a stroke or a heart attack or some sort of an issue that causes really a medical crisis. It's a game changer, and all of a sudden one of the spouses would need to go to the hospital, rehab, and then maybe receive care 24 hours a day in long-term care community, also known as a nursing home. And all of a sudden, maybe we have to react. So you can – Can you help someone in that situation as well? It was just unexpected. No one saw it coming, but boom, we got to deal with it now.
Yeah, so, you know, if they had done no planning, absolutely, there's things we would do. But this is what we tell our clients when we're doing the estate planning when they're still healthy, right?
Yeah.
We're just doing regular estate planning. You know, maybe they're, you know, in their 50s and, you know, long-term care is a long ways out there, right? They think it's not going to happen to them. We want to make sure for every client we're doing the regular estate plan that we've thought through long-term care. What assets we use to pay matter. Right? We can get tax benefits. We may have reasons we want to use IRA money to pay. So there's an absolute lot we can do, but we ought to be thinking about this stuff as early as we can. Build it into your regular estate plan. And when you work with an estate plan attorney who's also an elder law attorney, they're able to make sure that your estate plan deals with those types of things that your typical estate plan attorneys not even address. They don't even accidentally address the issue of long-term care in most instances.
Yep, because they're very focused in estate planning. But if you work with, you know, Stockton and Kant, they do estate planning and elder law. They understand both sides of that equation. And then one last thing, very quickly, if you go to a nursing home, say in the state of Kansas or whatever state you are, that state that you now reside, that state's rules apply. Is that correct?
Correct. And so here in Kansas City, that's important because we're right on the state line,
yep.
Right? So somebody could be a resident of Missouri, but if they're seeking care in Kansas, Kansas rules will apply. So it's really silly. But we can use that to our advantage because Medicaid is a federal program administered at state level. And so we can use, you know, so there's different rules in each state. And sometimes we can say, we're going to look for a community on this side because we're much better off financially.
Absolutely. Glenn Stockton with Stockton and Kant at StocktonLaw.com, 913-856-2828. Outside of the Kansas City area, go to NAELA.org to find an elder law attorney in your neighborhood. And Glenn, thanks so much for spending so much time with us today. Excellent information. I know we turned a lot of heads today. Great job.
And congratulations again on 11 years.
Thank you very much. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special episode of Senior Care Live, where today we're celebrating the 11th anniversary of the program right here on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. If you have a question, visit SeniorCareLive.com. And don't forget, if you want to listen to a podcast of the program, you can go to SeniorCareLive.com. Just hit the podcast tab and they're all right there. They go back, quite a few of them, maybe about a year, actually. And if you would rather subscribe to a podcast, you can find us on all of the major podcast platforms. How about that? All right, so we're going to shift gears now, and I'll tell you what, gosh, that was great information from my friend Glenn Stockton, wasn't it? Just fantastic information. It is applicable to everyone across the nation. Some of the numbers might be a little bit different on your spend down. Everybody still needs a care contract. Everyone could run into one of these Medicaid penalties unknowingly, so it is all it's all relevant to everyone. So hopefully you got a lot out of that. And again, contact an elder law attorney. It will be the best money you've ever spent. Do it right. Don't try to take any shortcuts. Get it done right, and it's you won't regret it. I'll just tell you that. So, all right. So, wanted to touch on the seasonal demand of senior care, and because I'm seeing a phenomenon that I just haven't seen in like 21 years. So, and I know I've talked about this before. I just want to emphasize it. I've been speaking with so many people over the last week or two, and they're asking, hey, Steve, you know, we know that we're going to need to move, you know, my spouse, my mother, my father, my parents sometime here in the future. How soon do you want to get out and do this search, go through that search and selection process, make some decisions, choose a place or maybe two, get your name on a couple of different waiting lists. You want to do that a couple of months before you need to move? Or when do you do it? When do you do it? And it's a great question. And I've always said that if we're within 12 months of moving, I would do it now. I would do it today. And I'm still going to say within the next 12 months of moving, but I'm going to put a little footnote in there. The sooner the better. And here's why. A traditional rhythm of the year would put a seasonal demand for senior care, and in particular, senior care communities, independent living, assisted living, long-term care, or a continuing care retirement community. That seasonal demand typically peaks out. It's at the highest point in January and February, and maybe, you know, well into March, maybe through March, and then it tapers off, and the lowest part of the demand, there's always a demand, but the lowest part of it is during the hot summer months, June, July, August. And then you'll see it start to inch up as we move further into the year, and then it starts getting cold, and it starts to increase and increase, and then it hits January, and boom, it jumps up again, January, February, March. So it's a little bit like a shallow cereal bowl that's a little bit crooked, with the left side of the cereal bowl higher than the right side, if you can visualize that. And it's not like a typical bell curve that drops way down and then comes back up. It just drops down a little bit, and then it will kind of gradually come back up, and then it bounces up to the left side of that cereal bowl, if you will, January, February, or March. It does this every single year for the last 21 years, except for this year. This year, that cereal bowl, it doesn't really look like a cereal bowl anymore. So far, it looks like a flat piece of paper because it started high in January and it's still high all the way through halfway through the year. Now we're into July. I still don't see it moving. So that demand has remained at that peak level for not 2.5 to maybe 3 months like it always is. Now it's high and level for at least 6 months and counting. I don't know if it's going to drop down this year. It's crazy. So what does that mean for you? Well, if you're thinking about needing to move, so here we are in July now. So if you're thinking about needing to move by, say, the end of the year, or Steve, yeah, we'd like to get moved in before the holidays. So we need to move in, you know, by, you know, early to mid-November at the latest. Well, here's the challenge. A lot of these places still have waiting lists where typically we would see no waiting list or like really short waiting list during the summer, again, because that's the lowest demand traditionally. Or maybe we have some apartments or some beds available. We have some capacity available a little bit. I'm just not seeing it right now for the majority of the best places available. Now, there could be a place that's just not the greatest place. It's just not a place that you would want to go to. And maybe they have a little bit of capacity. I'm talking about capacity and inventory available at the best places, the places that you want to move to. Okay, because that's what I deal with, the best places available for my clients. So there just isn't any movement. And so, for example, I worked with a family in January, and the representative at the community thought that it should have something available by May, and we are way outside of that. There are still two or three folks on the waiting list. It could be later this fall or the end of the year waiting for a place that we put our name on the wait list in January. So that's just a demonstration. So the message there, and I didn't put it in a consumer alert and all that, but the message is do not delay, act right now, even if it's a year before you plan on moving your parents. And if you need help with that, would be honored to speak with you and your family and work with you with my firm Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800 or online at seniorcareconsulting.com. All right. And then just to finish up our 11th anniversary of Senior Care Live, I can't believe it. I wanted to thank my friend and just a phenomenal producer. You have no idea how much work he does behind the scenes, Mr. Sean Floyd. And Sean, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You do such a great job. You make me sound better than I do. I promise you that. And I can't thank you enough for all of the great work that you do on this program.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, it's hard to believe that I've been your producer there for 4.5 of those 11 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's been a while, but I've learned a lot and we've shared a lot, and I'm honored to call you my friend as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, the whole, you know, the angels sing and the birthday and all that stuff, that's all Sean. I mean, he just does a fantastic job. Would like to also thank Darren Wilhite, and sometimes Darren will fill in while Sean is away, maybe on vacation, something like that.
He does a pretty good Morgan Freeman. Oh, not nearly as good as I try, but he's the master of it.
That's pretty good, actually. So yeah, no, he does an excellent Morgan Freeman. My account representative, Mr. John Stauffer, and all the great folks here at Odyssey, thank you for your support. Thank you to our partner sponsors of the program, Kansas City Hospice in Palliative Care, Home Downsizing Solutions, Mark Squires, the Medicare Whisperer, and Bruce Glenn with the Glenn Team. I just can't thank you enough for your ongoing support. It's just wonderful to work with you. And thanks to Radio America, our syndication partners. Thanks to my wife, Susan, for your unending support. My mom, Maxine, my biggest cheerleader. And most of all, thanks to you, the listeners of this program. I appreciate you more than you know. All right, I'm Steve Kuiker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.